time, brought to you by Elder Dan Parker and the Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church of Blairs, Virginia. Now, here's Elder Parker.
Good evening, my friends. Welcome to the Primitive Baptist Gospel Hour. I'm Elder Dan Parker, pastor of the Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church in Danville, Virginia. We thank the Lord that He has blessed us to come to you by this means to declare to you the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank God for His wonderful grace in our lives and to be able to publish the gospel of grace, the everlasting gospel of Almighty God to you this night. We hope that you will take your Bibles, go along with us in the Word of God, search those things out that you hear me preach each Sunday night on this telecast, because God's Word is His authority. It is, we believe, in the written, revealed, authentic inspiration of the Scriptures. We would invite you to come and be with us at the Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church. We meet every Sunday morning. Our singing begins at 10:30, preaching at 11 o'clock. We would love to have you in our worship. If you enjoy the things that you hear on this telecast, we would love to hear from you. We would love for you to write us or call us. The number is on the screen, and also the address. It's 295 Sweden Falls Lane, Blairs, Virginia, 24527. We appreciate those of you who have called us and let us know that you enjoy the telecast. This broadcast is certainly a blessing from the Lord, and we have talked to some of you, and we would love for you to come and be with us again. You'd find a warm, cordial welcome at Afton Road Church. I'd like to offer some booklets to you that I have written. This booklet, The Primitive Baptist Faith, is a booklet. It's subjects that out of the Word of God, from God's Word. It's very concise, easy to read, and it will help you to understand the things that we believe as Primitive Baptists. The next booklet is The Humility and the Exaltation of Christ. It starts from the Lord's Supper until the resurrection, the stay of Jesus 40 days upon this earth, and His exaltation, or His ascension, into heaven. We'd be happy to send these booklets to you. Just write me and let me know that you would like to have the booklets, and you can have as many as you want. Let us look to the Lord in prayer before we get into the sermon. Our blessed God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come before Thy throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in this time of need. We thank Thee for the grace that Thou hast bestowed upon us, and for the strength that we receive every day of our life through and by Thy Spirit. We would ask of Thee to bless the broadcast tonight. Open the eyes of Thy people to see the truth, that they might inquire of the things that they hear. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. I want to start this evening in the first epistle of the Apostle Peter, in chapter 1. I want to preach tonight on the doctrine of unconditional election, and also in connection with the doctrine of unconditional election, the doctrine or the teaching of predestination. Now, there are many misapplications that are made on these two teachings in God's Word. But I want us to look into the Word of God and see what the Scriptures project and what the Scriptures say about the doctrine of eternal election. The Apostle Peter wrote in his first epistle, chapter 1 and verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. The Apostle Peter, in this first epistle, this first letter, he wrote to the strangers scattered throughout these provinces in Asia. He is writing unto God's people that have been scattered throughout these countries in Asia. And he addresses them as elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now these were elect, and they were elect according or in harmony with the foreknowledge of God the Father. The Bible teaches that God's foreknowledge of his people is intimate. It is describing the love of God that he has for his people and that he has had before the foundation of the world. The word foreknowledge here comes from a Hebrew word which is progenosko, which means to regard with love, kindness, and favor. Now, the word is used several times in the New Testament. We find the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Rome, and he says in chapter 8, in verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow." Here we have the word again. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." And then he says, "What shall we say concerning these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" In verse 28 of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, he says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Now, the things that the Apostle Paul has under consideration are the things in the counsel of God pertaining to bringing his people ultimately into his presence, into his glory, conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And the all things that work together are the things that are stated in the following verses: the foreknowledge of God, the predestination of God, the calling of God, the justification of God, and the glorification of God. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So we have the word foreknow. Foreknow is God's intimate, everlasting, eternal, inseparable love that he has for those that he chose out of the human family before the foundation of the world. Now, there are those that would tell us, well, God looked down through time and he saw who would choose him. And based upon who he saw choosing and believing in him or following some kind of condition, then he chose them in Jesus Christ. But nothing could be farther from the truth, because in Psalm 14, we read there, in Psalm 53 also, we read there that God did look down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And when God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God, what did God see? He says that they're all gone back. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So God didn't base his electing love on who he saw would love him first, or who he saw that would choose him, or who he saw that would cooperate with him. Because when he looked upon all of us in the human family, what did he see? He saw the whole human family in ruin, in sin, and away from him. But God loved a people before that Adam transgressed God's law, and all the human family were ruined in Adam. God's love didn't change. God's purpose was already set. So he foreknew a people. Again, the word foreknow or foreknowledge means the intimate, eternal, unchangeable, everlasting, inseparable love of Almighty God. The word know in the scriptures most of the time means the intimate love of God for his people. In the book of Timothy we read concerning that the Lord knoweth them that are his. Certainly he knows everyone in his family, in every nation, in every race, of every color, of every tongue, and he's known them from eternity. He has known them in a very intimate, special way, with love and regard. And this, my friends, is unchangeable. God loved his people. When the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, you know, in Timothy, he talked about those that Hymenaeus and Philetus overthrew the faith of some, preaching that the resurrection is past already, and overthrew their faith. He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. I don't know all that are the Lord's, but he does. I don't know all of them. There's a vast multitude of people that God has loved from eternity, that has existed upon this earth from Adam and will until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord knoweth them that are his. That is, he loves them that are his. He knows them intimately. The foreknowledge of God. These people were elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now also, we understand that the Bible teaches that God foreknows all things. That is, God has never learned anything. God, even from before the foundation of the world, in Isaiah 46:10, it says that God declared the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. We know the Bible to teach that God is omniscient. That is, he is all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows in the most minute way everything. There is nothing hidden from the knowledge of God. He is an all-knowing God. But the word foreknow in the New Testament, in these passages that I have quoted unto you, concerning God knowing or God foreknowing, is limited. It is talking about the love that God set upon his people, his forelove before the foundation of the world. Now we know that God knows all human beings in his omniscience. He knows all human beings in his omniscience. But in his foreknowledge in these scriptures, he does not know all human beings as he knows his people in these scriptures. Whom he did foreknow, the same ones that he foreknew. You see, foreknowledge here is embracing people. Whom he did foreknow, not what, but whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. The same number, the same persons that he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word predestinate. The word predestinate comes from a Greek word, which is prohorizo, which means destiny predetermined. Pro means before, and destiny means the point of arrival or destination. Prohorizo, which means predetermined destiny. And it also means beyond the horizon. That God predestinated those that were foreknown or loved of God. And foreknowledge here is not only an attribute of God, but is also an act of God, whom God did foreknow. Whom he did foreknow, he also did do something else. Well, foreknowledge here and predestinate are two distinct teachings, and yet they are vitally connected together. What did God do for those that he loved before the foundation of the world? He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son. He predestinated them. Same number, same persons that are predestinated to live with God in heaven, the same number are justified. Justified by the Lord Jesus Christ and his work in redeeming them upon the cross, because that they were in sin, they were alienated from God, yet God loved them so much and he gave them to his Son before the world began, that he came into this world. Jesus Christ came down from heaven. And he came down from heaven to redeem those that the Father had given him before the world began. Jesus knew every one of them intimately. This was the proof of God's sovereign love for his people in sending his own Son into the world. And he became us by way of representation. He became a man. He lived upon this earth. And he died in our room instead. He died for his people to save them from their sins. Now, they were already elected. They were already predetermined or predestinated to live with God in heaven. But they had fallen in Adam's transgression, and we were all away from God and in sin. So we had to be brought back. We had to be redeemed by the precious blood of Christ and saved from death and darkness. And Jesus Christ did that upon the cross when he offered himself to God and shed his precious blood. He redeemed us to God. In the book of Ephesians, we find the doctrine of election and predestination taught in the first chapter. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. And let me inject here that New Testament churches, these churches believed in the doctrine of election and predestination. They were the elect, they were the predestinated, and they also embraced the faith of this wonderful truth, this amazing truth of the doctrine of election and predestination. These who believe the doctrine, who believe the gospel, they embraced the particular redemption of Jesus Christ, that Christ died for his people and he redeemed every one of them, and they'll live with him in heaven. They believe that God chose them in Christ before the world began, and they believe that they were predestinated unto glory and to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. God's people should believe the truth of the gospel. So here in the book of Ephesians, we read in verse 3 of chapter 1. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him." That is, God chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. He chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He didn't choose us because we were holy, or he saw something in us that was holy, or he foresaw something that man would do, so he chose him. No, it was totally in the person and the being of God that those whom he chose, he set his love upon before the foundation of the world, and based upon his foreknowledge or his love, his intimate love for them, he chose them in Christ before the foundation of the world, before him in love, having predestinated. Now here is the word predestinated. The word predestinate and predestinated are used four times in the scriptures, twice in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and twice here in the 1st chapter of the book of Ephesians. He says that God, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The same number, the same persons that are elected in Christ by God the Father are predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself. Not according to your choice, but according to God's choice. Not according to your will, but according to God's sovereign will. In the second chapter, or the second epistle, and the second chapter of Thessalonians, we read there about God's choice of his people unto salvation. He says, he writes unto those brethren, and he says unto them that they were chosen from the beginning. God hath chosen you from the beginning to what? To salvation. God has chosen you from the beginning to salvation. To salvation. Somebody says, now you know, preacher, God hadn't chosen anybody unto salvation. Well, if you believe the Bible, then you'll believe that God chose his people unto salvation. Because Paul says that you are the beloved of the Lord, and God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. Now, the choice of salvation was before the foundation of the world. That is, the choice of it. You were chosen unto salvation. You weren't saved before the foundation of the world, but it was in the mind, the purpose, and the counsel of God that he elected you, loved you so much that he chose you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. Now, sanctification of the Spirit is the application in your heart, in your soul, by the Spirit, the application of his salvation in regenerating. Are you being born of God's Spirit? Are you being quickened by the Holy Spirit? This is the application of salvation. You're already chosen unto salvation. That is, Jesus Christ already saved you or redeemed you upon the cross. And now, somewhere in your life, according to the purpose of God, according to his own counsel, he will apply that in your life. Yes, God has chosen you to salvation. If you are beloved of God and foreknown of God, or God loves you intimately, and if he loves you, he loved you before the world began, you will be quickened by the Spirit, and his love will be inscribed within your heart. If you love God tonight, it's not because you just decided to out of your human nature that I decide to love God. No, you love God because he first loved you. You love Jesus Christ because he first loved you and he did something in you. He wrought his grace within your heart. He saved you by his grace. Well, my friends, the doctrine of election is forcefully taught not only in the New Testament, but it's also taught in the Old Testament. You know, a lot of people would say, well, God would be unfair or unjust to love a certain number of people or a certain people and pass others by. God's not unjust, and God is not unfair in whatever it is His counsel to do. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, in verse 6, 7, and 8, we read there, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth." Now God made Israel his very own people. God, in his purpose and his plan, he called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. And God had in his mind and purpose all the time in calling Abram to fulfill this unto a people that he set his love and his affection on, that he foreknew. And therefore God set these people apart from all the people of the earth. Do you think that God is unfair or he is unjust to do that for Israel when he did not do it for the other nations? Absolutely not. God is not unjust or unfair. He did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. You see, there was nothing in these people that caused God to do this. It was not because they were more in number. It was not because they were great and had something about them that God said, well, I believe I'm going to love them. No, God in his own person said, I'm going to make this nation mine. I love them and I choose them for my very own above all the nations of the earth. Do you believe that God is unjust or unfair for doing this? Well, then you are charging God with foolishness. No, my friends, it says here in verse 8, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep his oath, which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, and from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. My friends, I want to tell you tonight that this is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. If you are in a place where that this is not preached, you ought to get out of that place and go to a place where that the truth of the gospel is preached. You ought to go to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where that people embrace this wonderful and amazing truth of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, that you should believe and you ought to believe the Bible, what it says about the electing love of God and his predestinating grace, that you're going to live with God in heaven. Whether you believe it or not, it won't change it. If you see God's face in glory, if you live in heaven, it'll be because God loved you before the world began, and he elected you in Christ, and Christ died for you, and he applied his grace in your life, and he'll never let you go. But you ought to believe that. That's a great comfort and consolation to the believing child of God. I believe what the Bible says concerning this wonderful subject. My friends, I know there's a lot of misapplications of this. I know there's a lot of false teaching. But I've told you tonight the truth. Thus saith the word of the Lord. I'd be happy to talk to you about it any convenient time. Until next week at this same time, may God richly bless you with this message.
When writing to Elder Parker, please mention that you saw this broadcast on Star 39. The address is Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church, 295 Sweeten Falls Lane, Blairs, Virginia, 24527. And tune in next week at the same time for Primitive Baptist Gospel Time on Star 39.